Well, praise our God. Amen.
Praise the
Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, wow. What a, you know, it was, you know, just an average day, I guess. And I really didn't expect sirens to go off, but oh my, yeah, we had a couple sets of them, and right before I was just going to leave, and, you know, got to look out and try to figure out what's going on. But praise the Lord is with us, and it has just seemed wonderful to be able to sing the songs of Zion here tonight. Praise Amen. Our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God knows how to keep us, knows how to watch over us. There's nothing too hard for him. And oh my, we are so blessed. You know, I just can't help but notice. I just recently, it just seems like the young people, this the children, you know, they're probably high school students that are helping out in the stores at this point during the summer. And you know, honestly, they just almost all of them, once in a while you see somebody who really looks like they know the Lord. You know, they'll smile and you know, have a different attitude. But oh my, so many of these young people just seem so hard and heavy. They hardly even will crack a smile, it seems like. But oh my, I know there's desperate needs. I can't imagine how horrible it would be to live in these times and not know Jesus. And I'm sure all of you, oh yes, agree with that. And you know, we just can say it again and again, but we are so blessed to know the Lord, to know that he is our Savior. And oh my, you know, we could put everything in his hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, so as we begin here tonight, I want to pray again and ask the Lord to have his way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we do praise you, Lord. We do love you. You first loved us. And oh, God, you had such mercy on us, such mercy, Lord, that you would call us to salvation. And oh, God, help us to see our need, oh, Lord, to turn our lives over to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you know all of this. And oh, God, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray, oh, God, that you'd get us ready for that day of your coming, Lord. Oh, God, when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that you are God. Oh, Lord, that you are the Christ, that you are the Savior. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, Lord, you are Lord. Oh, God, I'm so thankful that we can sing your praises, that we can worship you, that we can bow our knees to you now, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would work in a special way, Lord. Oh God, you know every need, every heart, every situation. Oh God, every burden. Oh God, I pray that you would work. Oh Lord, that you would deliver, that you would, oh Lord, help us to see, oh God, the things that matter in this life and help us to prepare our hearts and get right with you, Jesus. Oh God, help us to look for that day of thy coming, Lord, that blessed hope, Lord. Oh, one of these days, oh Lord. Oh Lord, when you are going to split through the sky, and oh Lord, oh, it'll never be the same, Lord. Oh God, for oh God, you are coming to judge this world in righteousness, to gather your people, Lord. And oh God, help us to be ready. Help our hearts to be ready. Help us to do your will. Help us to do your work. Oh God, help us to work while it is yet day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. And Lord, it just came to mind at the moment. You know, Jane wrote me that text and said she has to go before the surgeon tomorrow, and I don't know what that means exactly, Lord. But oh God, I pray that you'd have your hand on that matter, Lord. Oh God, I pray that nothing would be done, oh Lord, that it would be negative. Oh Lord Jesus, in your precious name, I pray that, oh God, your will would be done in this matter, for we do give it to you in Jesus' name. Oh God, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So thank God. Okay, our God is good. He is faithful. And I know we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in him. Praise the Lord. Okay, we've been talking about our life in Christ. And you know, I just, this would be the third part here tonight. And I hope to get to more specifics here tonight. But, you know, it's such an amazing thing that God would take us out of the world and put us into his kingdom. And you know that we become new creatures in Christ once we yield our lives over to him and turn it over to him. And you know, that means that despite the fact that we once walked after the course of this world, we are changed people. We have been quickened. Oh, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And yes, everything changes, you know, and it's not going to be just an automatic turnaround completely, but, you know, he works on us little by little, and you know, I hope at times, you know, all the more, because yes, we have only so many days to prepare for that moment when we stand before Jesus Christ. And so here we are, and you know, it behooves us to, you know, do the things that are needful in his sight. And oh yes, we know that there is definitely a conflict between the carnal man and the spiritual man. We talked about that last week and using the book of Romans there to guide our study there. And, you know, the two are not compatible. The scripture makes that very clear. You know, if somebody tells me that they are a Christian and still cursing and swearing and dressing like a slut and, you know, all those kind of things, you know, I'm going to just say, no, I don't think so, you know. Oh, my, you know, maybe you're a baby Christian. You know, I'll give you a little room to improve here. But, oh, my, you know, oh, we so need God's word. We so need to be taught. I mean, I know, yes, I know sometimes people don't have teachers. And we'll get into that just a little bit, I think, tonight. And you know, it can be, you know, just, you know, wanting to be different but not knowing how. I do believe in some cases. But oh yes, when we turn it over to the Lord and thank God for his word that directs us, there is going to be a contrast between the carnal and the spiritual man. Amen. You know, it's, you know, all things are going to pass away and behold, all things become new. It's a new story. It's a new life. It's, you know, it's, there's going to be a testimony because, you know, the Lord takes us out of the darkness and puts us into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, there in Romans there, the sixth chapter, they were taught ways how to die out to sin, how to overcome sin. Praise the Lord. And, you know, how to crucify that old man. And yes, it's going to mean yielding to God. In other words, turning it over to him. It means to surrender to the Lord Jesus. And as even Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. You know, that's, you know, the new attitude that we need to have. And, you know, we might have stored up all these ambitions and desires and have all these, you know, goals. But if it's not the Lord's will, if they're not wrought in Jesus Christ, then, oh my, they need to go. They need to go because God has another plan, you know, and you know, he wants to work it in us. And you know, we just might as well learn, you know, his will is going to be superior, way greater than anything we could ever determine to do of ourselves. In fact, you know, that's going to come to nothingness. It's going to be vanity. It's going to be, you know, in vain. But, you know, if we can yield our lives to the Lord and surrender to him, oh my, how different everything will be. Amen. Oh my, as he takes us. Oh yes, and I feel, oh yes, we've got it told here in Romans, the 12th chapter, where it tells us verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then we're told, oh, and this is such a key here. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that means, yes, we're going to let the world go by. You know, and you know, those trends and all, you know, the practices and, you know, the standards that they have, we can't conform to the things that are worldly and not of God. But yet, we need to let them go and let the Lord, as I just talked about, yielding to him, surrendering to the Lord, giving our lives over to Jesus Christ, then, yes, letting him transform us. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to take his power. It's going to take his ability. We couldn't do it on our own. No. So it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, praise the Lord, as we walk this earth, we need some direction, hey? You know, we've not done this before, and we're not going to have another opportunity either. You know, it's one life here on this earth, you know, and then that opportunity to live for God is over. So yes, it is so necessary to turn our lives and become that living sacrifice. No, we're not going to offer animal sacrifices in this world. We're not under that law that Moses presented. No, we're going to present our bodies, and we want them to become acceptable to God. That's what it's all about. It's, you know, people may put pressure on you and want you to conform to certain standards and modes and behaviors and dress and all of that, but hey, that isn't going to amount to anything of significance at all, because what does matter is what God thinks and how we have embraced his salvation and his plan, how we have conformed and let him, allowed him to make us into the image of his dear son. Oh my, and yes, I believe we're gonna get into some scriptures that really show, I mean, that's the goal. And what, you know, what an objective, what a goal. But, you know, that's what we're striving for on this earth. Praise the Lord. And yes, so we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus and surrender them so that he can make us what we ought to be in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that we can prove by our living what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and he's called us all as individuals, oh, to his plan and his purpose. Amen. We all have a part in the body of Christ to fulfill. And by his grace and mercy, you know, we all have different talents and abilities, but you know, God gave each of us what we need to fill our little part in that puzzle, would you like to call it, you know, that body of Christ, so that we can fit in, you know, we can be a part in the whole making, you know, of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I knew I needed another verse, and thank God he gave it to me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 now. Praise the Lord as we study here tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's raining now. I can hear it. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we serve a keeping God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to start with verse 1. Trust the Lord to show us what we need to see here tonight. Praise the Lord. Okay, so verse 1. Paul is writing, and you know, he's not in an ideal place. He's in prison as he writes this word here in Ephesians chapter 4. So it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And oh my, that's quite a verse right there. Because, you know, that call of in which we are called to walk with the Lord, it's such a high calling. It's such an amazing calling. And, you know, we might not totally understand it, you know, because understanding grows as we walk with the Lord. But, you know, just to give us a little deeper insight here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, they read, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh yes, He takes possession of us when we turn our lives over. But oh my, it was such a price that was paid for our salvation. Oh, we can read just a little bit more of that in 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going down to verse 18 in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It reads, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, praise the Lord, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Praise the Lord, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we have been bought with a price. Oh, a price that could never be duplicated. No one else could have paid that price for our salvation, but it was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, oh, who presented himself, who gave himself as a ransom for our sins. Praise the Lord. He was as that lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my, who did nothing worthy of death. But, oh, my, what he did is he took our sins upon himself on that cross of Calvary. He took those sins, those horrible things that were upon our back, that were condemning us, that would send us to the lake of fire had they not been atoned for, and we had not turned them over to Jesus Christ. But oh yes, what a price has been paid. Nothing corruptible, nothing like silver and gold. Oh yes, and it didn't take that to redeem us from our vain lives, our vain conducts of the past. But oh yes, it was that precious blood of Jesus Christ, oh, who presented himself as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, we could never thank him enough. We could never appreciate enough this gift of salvation. Oh, one day, though, when we stand before him, we stand before him as he comes to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, my, we're going to be, just so overwhelmed with thanksgiving for that gift of salvation, that opportunity that we have had to give our lives over to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So yes, back here in Ephesians 4, yes, he's writing, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, in other words, I implore you, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling, in other words, wherewith ye are called. And all that attitude, it makes such a difference. God has nothing to do with the haughty and with the proud. That kind of attitude doesn't please God at all. But, when we realize, oh my, it is true. We sang that. Without him, we can do nothing. I mean, that is the truth. He is the one that gives us the breath that we breathe. He is the one that created us. Oh, yes, who brought us forth into this world. Oh my, and he is the one that gives us ability to walk this earth, to overcome, to do the things that we need to do.
Amen.
Oh my, so there's no place for pride in the kingdom of God. So it tells us, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And wanting to uphold one another, to sustain one another, to, encourage one another in love, praise the Lord. But that attitude, that's so important. And we're not filled with pride and wrong emotions and all those things that would hinder us. There in the second chapter of Isaiah, it talks about how everything that is high is going to be brought down. I'm talking about the things of this world that, have attitudes and are full of pride. Oh, my. Oh, yes. It's all going to be brought down, tells us Isaiah chapter 2. Enter into the rock, verse 10, and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Oh, yes, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pitchers. And it tells us, verse 17 here, Isaiah chapter 2, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Oh my, we're going to bow our knees to God. We're going to realize we had nothing to do with it. It was his greatness, his mercy, his grace that picked us up out of the miry clay and helped us to see, took the blinders off our eyes so that we could see that we were needing to repent, and that we were sinners, doomed for hell, and we needed to get right with God.
Amen.
Oh my, it was God's mercy that showed us those things. And oh yes, that loftiness of man, oh yes, it's going to be bowed down. The haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And it says, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. No, it's all going to go. Everything that isn't wrought in Jesus Christ is going to go. It's, oh my, he comes to bring forth his new heavens and his new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, you know, and all at once, so by this earth, sin has consumed it. And oh, it's going to be over, amen. And yes, man, suddenly he's going to realize, hey, oh, I've got to hide from him that sits on the throne. I've got to get right. Somehow I got to hide. Oh, he's going to destroy me. And it says, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Oh my, you know, that understanding. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats all at once. Oh, they realize the vanity of it, you know, the nonsense of it. There they tried to make objects to worship, to venerate, and you know, it was so in vain. It was folly, it was foolish, it was ridiculous. And all at once, oh, it's going to be flung to the moles and the bats. And oh my, get thee hence, in other words. Oh, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And let me say it. Let me say it again. You know, he came the first time as a babe in the manger, as a lowly child. He came unrecognized except by the very few that God called to worship him. And there was no room for him in the inn. And there he was in a manger, laid in a manger, in swaddling clothes, in other words, in rags, you know, and there he was, unrecognized and so lowly in that sense. But yet, oh my, when he comes again, oh, it's going to be with such majesty that we can't even begin to imagine it. Oh, such majesty, such greatness. There's going to be no denial at that moment that he is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. No, they're going to get it. You know, the blinders are going to go off the eyes. And all at once, you know, those who have rejected him, who have despised him, oh my, who have ridiculed the children of the Lord, all at once, you know, they're going to realize, hey, this was, you know, they meant it, you know. God is real. He is true. Here he is. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Oh, yeah, it's going to be that great day of the Lord. It's going to be that day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to acknowledge that Jesus is indeed the Christ to the glory of God the Father. And oh my, all at once, you know, that realization, that understanding who he is and the need to get right with him. Oh my, to fear him. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we can bow our knee to him right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, okay, let's go back to Ephesians here. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4. So, all those high things are going to be brought down. But here to the church, Paul is writing in verse 3, endeavoring. And that means striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And, you know, man divides. In fact, you know, even in the church world, there are things called denominations. But, oh my, denominations divide one from the other. But in the true body of Christ, there is only one body, and there is a unity of the Spirit that we will endeavor to strive for. Amen. And yes, it clearly tells us, verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, you know. You know, you know, everybody else doesn't need another Bible. It's not like, you know, you can pick and choose, you know, what you want to believe, what, you know, sounds, you know, more like your thinking, you know. Oh, that's the best rendition. Oh, yeah, that sets with my mindset. Oh, my, no, there's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. And it tells us, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise the Lord, as it is pertaining to the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And of course, there's not a person in this world that doesn't need the grace of God, oh, to cover our sins and our misconducts and all our shortcomings. Oh, that grace, oh yes, to, make up for, you know, what we could not do in ourselves. Was it possible that undeserved love of Jesus Christ, that compassion that he gave us that we could never buy, you know, that we could never even deserve. So we're all given that grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I suppose if you want to literally take this, you know, I suppose as individuals, maybe some of us needed a little more grace than others, you know, but I know for sure we had all come short of the glory of God. So there's not a one of us that doesn't need his grace, amen, but it says according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he's making another reference here in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And oh my, the things that happened when Jesus Christ left this world. Oh, praise the Lord, I have a feeling we could not ever fully realize all the amazing things that happened at that time. And by the way, this verse here, the eighth verse is found in Psalm 68, verse 18. And the way it reads in Psalms is, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. No, I think that's so amazing because, you know, the bonds of sin, the captivity that had captivated us. Oh, praise the Lord, he delivered us. He has set us free. And you know, the saints of the Old Testament were in a holding place before Jesus ascended on high. And you know, you couldn't see it with your eyes. And you know, even those that were raised up there after there as Jesus was on the cross, you know, all this, when he ascended on high, he was leading his people. Oh my, he was releasing them from that halting place wherein they had been. And yes, he gave gifts unto men. Oh yes, the gift of the Holy Ghost foremost, and yes, which divides into the gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord, so we could all be used of God. Amen, and do our part. And then it also tells us in verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he had descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? So before he ascended back into heaven, as told us in the first chapter of the book of Acts, you know, he first there, you know, those 3 days and nights when he was in the belly of the earth, he was doing a work. Praise the Lord. It says that first he descended down into the lower parts of the earth. And, oh, yes, I believe there was a work that he had to do. And what I understand from my understanding in 1 John is that there were people there. He presented himself to those that had not known the Savior. And I don't know the whole story fully, but, you know, we're just told a little bit in 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, when it says, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And then it says, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water." And so it mentions particularly those that had lived during the period of Noah. And in my own opinion here, I feel like it means others too that had walked during the time of the law, the other dispensations, before this dispensation of grace. But I believe that Jesus Christ came and presented himself and the glorious gospel to those souls that were in captivity, that had not heard. I believe he gave them opportunity to repent. And, it also gives a little clue, I feel, in the 4th chapter of 1 Peter, where it says, verse 5 and 6, "Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead," in other words, the alive and the dead, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." And I know we were all dead in our trespasses and sins in that sense, but I believe that there was a work done when Jesus, when he was in that lower part of the earth, when he presented himself so that those that lived before the time of Calvary, before this dispensation of grace, had an opportunity. And again, we're not given a lot of details, so I can't say much at all. But anyway, I just believe that he was on a mission when he descended first into the lower parts of the earth, as told us back here now in Ephesians chapter 4. And then it tells us in verse 10 in this chapter, "He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Oh, praise the Lord. He could ascend because his work was accomplished. The eternal plan of God was totally completed, so that, yes, it was over. So now, he could ascend back into the heavens where he might fill all things, praise the Lord. And until this moment when he comes again, to judge this world in righteousness, to gather his people. But he was pouring out himself and bringing this dispensation of grace into the making, was bringing salvation to the world. He set forth people that could help the body of Christ. Who would be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, as it tells us in verse 11. This was part of his eternal plan. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Praise the Lord. An evangelist would be like a missionary too, who's called forth, to tell the world about Jesus. Whoever, they are commissioned to go forth and declare. So yes, there's this fivefold ministry that God provided for, so the body of Christ could have instructions. And apostles, those that are sent forth, and yes, to proclaim the gospel, and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And yes, there was a great reason for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Yes, there are reasons for all of God's functions in his plan. Praise the Lord. And then it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, you see, oh my, we've got something to be fulfilled. There are expectations here. Oh yes, we come to Jesus as we are, as a babe in Christ. And you know, most likely we don't know too much at that moment. But praise the Lord, oh yes, God has given us help. And for one thing, we have this fivefold ministry. Oh yes, that is to go forth as an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher for the perfecting of the saints, the body of Christ, those that are in Christ Jesus, to bring each and every one to maturity in the Lord. And it says, for the work of the ministry, oh, the work of God that we all are a part of. Praise the Lord. And amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, for the building up of the body of Christ. So, yeah, we don't have to stay babes in Christ, so that we can be nurtured, oh yes, in the Word of God, in the ways of God, by the Spirit of the living God, so that we can grow. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, yes, you know, like we already read, there's, one body, one spirit. We're called in one hope of our calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Yes, so, you know, here there is to be a unity of the faith. It shouldn't be, broken up into fragments. It shouldn't be broken up into denomination. There's only one body. And it behooves us to, study the Word of God, to know the Word of God, so that we can come to that measure, that place in Christ where, we're not babes, just... Well, as it's going to be described in verse 14, just tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, God has one doctrine, to tell you the truth. Oh, yes, so the purpose of the fivefold ministry is until we all come in the unity of the faith. Of the faith. It's not of the faiths, like there's a whole bunch of faiths and all these roads that lead to Rome and so they say but there's one road that leads to heaven. And so yes, that's the cause that we would get it together, that we would come into understanding by His grace and His goodness to us. So come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And that's talking about being mature in Christ. No longer that babe, oh my, who's, not knowing how to think exactly. And, trying to understand. But it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is. That's God's expectation that we grow. And I love that timeline, or that growth line, I guess I could say there in 2 Peter, where, it tells us how we can grow in the Lord. But we've got to climb that ladder. It's going to start with faith, and we're going to have to add to that faith some knowledge. And, you know, then all the other attributes that need to be developed in us, so that we can get to that place of maturity in Jesus Christ unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That's what it says here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, yeah, there's all kinds of winds of doctrine out there. And there's all, you know, we even have all those different versions of the Bible and all that, and all the craftiness of men who, you know, devise, you know, all these ways to deceive people. Oh, it's terrible, but, you know, we want to know the truth. And we want to be established in the truth. We want to be set free by the truth, the Word of God, praise the Lord, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You know, I'll think this way today and tomorrow another way. Well, we want to, you know, be established in what the Word of God teaches and declares, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And wind, another word for wind is spirit. All those doctrines have spirits attached to them, and the devil's using them, you know, to deceive by his craftiness and cunningness. And then he uses those people that, you know, relate to him. So, yes, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, oh my, by contrary, verse 15 tells us, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Oh, that growth, you know, that needs to develop as we come to the Lord. And that's why, you know, we surrender our will to God and you know, present our bodies a living sacrifice, oh, to God, so that we might prove what is his acceptable, good, and perfect will of God, you know, just so that we can mature in this way and come to the fullness here. Oh, the expectations that we can grow up into him in all things, that maturity in Christ, which is the head, even Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then it describes a little bit more, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compassed by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So here it is, each and every individual in the body of Christ has a mission and a job to fulfill. And you know, when it's all complete, the body of Christ, then every piece will be put together just as God has ordained us accomplishing that particular mission that God has ordained for us as individuals. That, you know, we would, yeah, fit that. And like, you know, a giant puzzle, you know, in which each and every one of us would be a piece. And then it all fits together to fulfill the body of Christ. Praise the Lord, the kingdom of God, praise the Lord. Yes, and that we would all do that which he has ordained for us, particularly, you know, we're all gonna do a little thing different because, you know, every part's gonna have a particular need and a particular thing to fulfill. So, yes, you know, we find that, you know, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, wholly acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service, you know, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, my. So, wow, that's what this is all about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so it continues, verse 17 now. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And yeah, we were all, you know, out there at one point, you know, just walking in the vanity or the vainness, you know, of our own lifestyle and thoughts and ambitions and desires. Hey, it's vanity, and yes, but you know, we don't walk that road anymore when the Lord saves us. You know, we better not stay the same. Well, you know, we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yes, and that's what we want to accomplish, to get to that place where, you know, we are in Christ and to reach that fullness that's been described in this chapter. And so sad, you know, the blindness of those that are without, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Oh my, they don't realize that they're walking dead men, those that are without, and they're alienated. You know, they're not a part of the life of Christ. You know, they're shut out, in other words, because of the ignorance that, you know, they are, you know, thinking that it's a part of their life, that's their, you know, their whole life, their, you know, their philosophies and everything else. I mean, you know how God sees it, and that spiritual blindness, because they can't see what is the truth. And it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. And oh my, this is a very sad state to be in, and definitely when one is so calloused that they cannot, you know, empathize, they cannot see, they have, you know, no way to understand, you know, what life is all about, and you know, they're just grabbing for the things of this world and living in that world where they're full of uncleanness and lasciviousness, which pertains to all the lusts of the flesh. Oh my, that, you know, man without God walks in that other world that, you know, we all were once a part of, but praise the Lord, you know, we've been saved out of that world. And it tells us, oh my, having now described that world that is without, it tells us in 20, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Oh my, no, it's a complete change. It's a reversal of the old ways, of the old lifestyles, of the old thinking, of the old philosophies. It's a reversal of that. But ye have not so learned Christ. You know, it's going to be a new way. And it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And my, there's no other place to go. There's no other Savior. There's no one else that can present the truth and lives the truth and is the truth, you know, but Christ Jesus. And oh my, so beautiful. Oh, when the glorious news comes to us so that we hear with our ears, or maybe we read it somehow, if nobody verbalized it. And then, oh, we were taught by the Savior, praise the Lord, the truth that is in Jesus. And oh, yes, it's going to teach us, you know, hey, you can't continue the way you were, but, you know, you've got to be transformed, you know. You've got to be changed by that renewing of your mind. Oh, my. And so that old man, it has to go. It has to be put off, as it is expressed in this chapter, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And you know, when it says the former conversation, it's that word conversation is talking about our whole way of life, all the different aspects, And that needs to be changed. It needs to be put off. It needs to be dropped. You know, no more of that. We're new creatures in Christ. You know, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. We don't want to walk in those old ways. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. So, and then it tells us, oh, yes, that old lifestyle is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Oh, yes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of that, you know, which, you know, if we follow through with that kind of thinking, there's no hope. Amen. That kind of thinking, that kind of lifestyle leads to eternal death. But praise be to God who has revealed himself to us. And oh my, took the blinders off so we can see, so we could acknowledge our sins, so we could repent and turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. Oh yes, so we could obey the gospel and be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. Oh yes, and oh yes. Being told that we would indeed receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, being assured of that. Amen. And so it says that we put off that old man, that former way of life, that lifestyle that was corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, how we need to be renewed day by day, you know, to keep the physical man living. You know, we need certain things, don't we? We need food. We need water. We need rest. You know, the body, the physical body has requirements. But if it's true in the physical sense, it certainly is true in the spiritual sense too. And yes, we need that renewing in Christ Jesus. That inward man is going to starve if it's not fed spiritually. Amen. You know, as we were reading in Romans 7 last week, it told us in the 22nd verse, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." And praise the Lord, that becomes our delight because, yes, we realize this word of life, these scriptures that, you know, we read is something that we love because it's going to tell us how we need to live our lives and how we can be acceptable in the sight of God. Oh, how we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, how we need, oh, to delight in the word of God, in the law of God. Oh, yes, that fills our hearts and souls. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just so much is given us here. Psalms 119 for one place. But let me just read a little bit here from Psalms 119. Oh, it starts with verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh yes, that means that these precepts in the Word of God, these scriptures are to be taken very seriously. They're not just written, you know, because they sound pretty, you know, it's part of poetry, you know, and it's, you know, nice things to, you know, think about. No, these scriptures are words of life. They are words of life, and it says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And here the psalmist is saying, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you need to know them in order to fulfill them, right? In order to live by them. It says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And then the question here in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And there's an answer to it. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, yes, that's how you get right with God. Oh, and that's how you get rid of those sins. Praise the Lord. That's, you know, by looking into the word of God, by taking heed, not just looking into it, but, oh, yes, turning one's life over to that admonition, to those words of life, by heeding them, obeying them, by doing them, by living by them. Praise the Lord, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And just a few more here. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, yes, oh, that is so necessary. Oh, yes, we need the word of God to speak to us, and we want to get it down deep as far as it can go. Praise the Lord. Oh, so that, oh, it quickens us. So it talks to us. Oh, yeah, so that, you know, in the midst of struggles, in the midst of temptations, the word of God comes to our mind, and you know, we can reflect on it, and we can, oh, yes, that's the answer that I'm seeking. And yes, it renews us in the spirit. Praise the Lord. It renews our minds. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So that, you know, that continual feeding of God's word. Oh, yes. Keeps it fresh so that, you know, it's on the forefront of our minds. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We need God's word in so many ways. And yes, we need it to be renewed. His word, we are told, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, yes, without that lamp, how would we see? Without that light guiding us, how would we know where to go, how to think, what to do? We wouldn't see the path. We would be blind. We would, you know, be hindered. Oh, my, we couldn't do this. You know, another psalm here, there in this 119th psalm, it's said here, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Oh, yes, it's going to tell us the truth. Oh, yes, so we know how to think. Amen. So we know what to give heed to. Oh, we know what is the word of God. You know, just like, you know, they would train somebody if they were going to need to spot counterfeit bills. They would train such a person to know the real, the genuine, very well. And so it is with our life in Christ. You know, we're not going to know every religion and every wind of doctrine and every whim of the devil and, you know, just all the pitfalls and everything else. No, but if we know what is right, if his word is hidden in our hearts, then, oh my, we can see and understand, hey, no, that doesn't line up. That isn't God's word. No, 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 that's false. That's a deception from the devil. So, yes, how we want to hide it deep in our hearts, how we want to know it to the best of our abilities. Oh, my, that's such a challenge. I just feel always, you know, there's so much more to learn. Oh, my. Oh, but by his grace and mercy, praise the Lord, he puts it within us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, we want to be renewed in the spirits of our minds. Oh, yes, and yes, his word is certainly one way that we are renewed. Praise the Lord. You know, it tells us, if we turn for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here, oh, praise the Lord. verses 15 and 16. Paul is writing, for all things, oh, let's see, praise the Lord, 15 and 16, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Oh, praise the Lord, oh, yes, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And oh yes, just as our physical body needs food, it needs water, it needs refreshing, it needs rest. Oh my, so our inward man must be renewed day by day so that yes, we can be blessed in the Lord. Oh yes, so that we can overflow. In other words, the word for redound there is you know, to overflow to be abundant, I would say, in the ways of the Lord, for His glory, for His name's sake. But yes, as we walk this earth, our outward man perishes, but yet, oh, that inward man, it needs to be renewed day by day. And yes, it's His word that speaks to our hearts. And yes, it's His Spirit that talks to us. Oh my, the Holy Ghost that, oh yes, moves in us, oh, edifies us. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Jude, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But, oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it tells us here that how we can build ourselves up, how we can be renewed, praise the Lord, day by day, as we just read there. Oh, my, and yes, it is telling us praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I think it's so wonderful. Oh, yes, the Holy Ghost, which is the rest, too, as we read in Isaiah 28 and also in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Oh, that Holy Ghost, oh my, it knows how to intercede for us. Oh, when we're going through life's trials and all those hard things, and oh my, we know that there's a need and we can feel it so strongly, but we don't know exactness. We don't know all the goings on. But I am so thankful that we can pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, those unknown tongues or tongues that are unknown to us, praise the Lord. Oh, they make intercession for us because God takes it. And oh, he moves in us, oh my, so that the Holy Ghost, oh my, makes intercession for the trouble at hand, for the need at hand, for the burden at hand, the thing that, you know, we cannot fully vocalize or even understand. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, that, oh yes, that's another way that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind, how we can build ourselves up by praying, oh yes, in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, He makes intercession for us. It tells us in Romans 8 chapter, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And it says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And oh yes, those unknown tongues that come forth out of our mouth that, you know, we don't understand as far as the details are concerned, other than what we might perceive in our hearts. But oh yes, God does a work. a work that is so beyond us, an amazing work. Oh, yes, where we pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit takes over, the Holy Ghost takes over and makes intercession for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I have seen amazing things happen. Oh, yes, when I just totally turned it over to the Lord and prayed in the Spirit. And oh, yes, things that you can't fathom, happen. Oh, because God has his way, and he makes intercession through us, and the things that we couldn't even completely, like I said, verbalize or understand is resolved. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's explained a little bit in 1 Corinthians 14, and I'll just read a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, Paul is writing, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." And then he says, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, both functions are needed. And oh, yes, I thank God. You know, there's a time when we just need to let God intervene and do his work, his wonderful thing that is so beyond us. And praise the Lord, he's totally capable. And he knows how to do those things that we could never do in ourselves. Praise the Lord. Make intercession. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, you can sing in the Spirit too. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you ever done that? Sang in an unknown tongue and you know, made that melody in your heart to the Lord and praise the Lord. Oh, it's quite an amazing thing. You know, the joy of the Lord that wells up within as the Lord works through us. Oh, praise the Lord. But all this life in Christ, oh my, it is a giving over of our own will and ambitions and thinking. It's turning our lives over to Jesus Christ and letting him rule and reign in our very being. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's so beautiful that he would love us so much that there would be this plan that, oh yes, you know, it gets pretty heavy down here on earth at times, you know, and we go through all these conflicts and you know, times when this hurts and that hurts and this misunderstanding happens and that, and you know, how to resolve it, how to think. But oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we can come to the Lord Jesus and we can be renewed in our minds. Praise the Lord. We can turn our affairs over to him. And oh my, he knows how to help us. He knows how to save us. He knows how to give us strength to do the things on our plate. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Oh, we are so privileged. Oh, yes, to be a participant in the kingdom of God, to have this life in Christ. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's much more to teach here. In fact, I know the epistles, you know, one reason for them is for instruction. But, oh, praise the Lord. We'll end here tonight with Ephesians 4 and verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, praise the Lord. His word renews us. The Holy Ghost renews us. Oh, yes, the preaching of the cross renews us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, when we don't have strength of our own, and when do we anyway? We don't have strength of our own. But, oh, yes, he knows how to give us that which we need. He knows how to give us that strength, that faith that we need, that hope that we need to walk this earth and overcome. Oh yes, to be that new creature in Christ. Oh yes, to attain to that place, that position in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, that place where we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, that goal that we strive for. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, because God intervened in our life and called us for his holy plan and purpose. Praise the Lord, so that we can be his children. We can be a part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord, we can be participants in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, his eternal kingdom. That began when we turned to Jesus and is forever. Praise the Lord, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, amen. Our life in Christ. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 47 and sing, "Lord, Make Me What I Ought to Be," number 47. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise